I'm psychologist Peggy Mitchell Norwood, and you are listening to Living Well with Dr. Peg, where all good psychology is God's psychology. For the next 30 minutes, you'll learn practical and effective psychological strategies based on biblical principles to help you to live well. Hello, listeners. Thank God it's Friday. I'm Dr. Peggy Mitchell Norwood, and welcome to today's episode of Living Well with Dr. Peg. We're coming to you live out of Denver, Colorado, and streaming on the web around the world on www.1220kldc.com. Are you ready to be transformed? God promises us that the old is gone, the new has come, and if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Well, the new year is right around the corner. Are you ready? Today, my guest, Teresa McCaskill, and I are sharing practical advice for making New Year's resolutions in every area of your life, including financial, relationships, career, and health. Call in with your question or share your New Year's resolution with us. The number is 303-433-8000. That's 303-433-8000. And every caller receives a free electronic copy of my book, Do Something Different for Change. Before we get started, let me acknowledge my sponsors who are supporting this season of Living Well with Dr. Peg. Ballad Family Mortuary, 720-220-2122. Charlotte Haymore of Charlotte's Cruises and Tours, 303-343-0342. The Colorado Kings, exciting, professional, and affordable basketball, www.coloradokings.com. Community College of Aurora Foundation, building financial and public support for the Community College of Aurora. Global Change Network USA, an international alliance of ministers. Sons of Covenant Incorporated, Milati Brahana-Maskell, investment executive with PB Advisors. A Woman's Worth Ministries, Jackie Beter LLC and Rutenberg Realty. Coney Management and Realty, Rexford Kennedy Architects and Associates. Love Properties, Dr. Ann Rice Jones, George Green of JF Cars. Primal Wear Cycling Apparel, D. Nash & Associates for all your insurance needs, Law Office of Michelle Adams, and last but not least, my mom, Ruth Mitchell. This is listener-supported radio, so if you would like to learn more about my sponsors or become a sponsor, please visit my website at www.drpegonline.com. Also, for more information about my personal transformation sessions for individuals and groups, go to my website. Again, that's drpegonline.com, drpegonline.com, and click on Transformation. Our topic today is getting ready for 2013. How many of you out there have made a New Year's resolution already? If you're like most people, you make those resolutions, but then a week later or a month later, you've already slipped up. Maybe you have goals for getting healthier, goals for your relationships, goals for your job or career, or goals for your finances. My guest today is Teresa McCaskill, and she's a financial counselor and a Crown Financial Ministries leader, and she's my guest, and she's going to help me help you make those New Year's resolutions. Teresa and I are going to share some practical strategies with you today to get you ready for 2013. Again, if you'd like to ask a question about setting goals for your finances or share your New Year's resolutions with us, and receive a free copy of my book, Do Something Different for Change, give us a call. The number's 303-433-8000. Teresa, thank you for being back again. You were with me last year this time as we were heading into the new year. And it's always a good topic, New Year's resolutions, and it's always important to make some plans around our finances, isn't it?
It sure is. Thank you, Peggy, for having me again.
You're so welcome. Tell the listeners a little bit about Crown Financial Ministries and what they're all about and what role you play with them as a leader.
Yes, Crown Financial is a worldwide organization, Christian organization, that teaches about finances based on the Bible. And they are all over the world. I started teaching first. I studied up under it and started teaching about 10 years ago. Wow. And became a leader in there. So what I do is I go out and I help other churches start Crown Financial, but also at my church, I am a leader and I teach two classes a year. And they're 10 weeks, and we go in depth through all of your finances, setting goals, having budgets, learning about what the Bible says about your finances.
That's great. Well, you know, one of the things that I always share is that most people say they want change in their lives, but they're not always willing to make changes, and they want something different, but they don't always do something different. Do you find that that's also true in their finances?
Exactly. You know, it's hard for me to sit down with someone who says they want to do a budget or get their finances in order until we find out where they are as far as their struggles. Because the first thing we need to look at is why they're struggling in their finances. And sometimes it's about looking at your habits, looking at past experience, looking at generational things that are going on. And so we have to explore that first, because once we get that and have you take a look at what is the struggle, then the finances can absolutely fall into place.
Yeah, a lot of people, when you question them about that, they'll say, well, I'm underemployed, or I've been unemployed for a while. And that may account for a current financial crisis, but do you find that people do? I heard you mention generational patterns.
Yes.
That there are people that in their life, whether they've had a job or not, a good paying job or maybe underemployed, they seem to have these patterns.
Exactly. A lot of times we live above our means, and a lot of it has to do with self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And so we take a look at that, or why you like to spend a lot of money. And why you constantly like to shop, or why you're struggling with your finances, or why there's friction in the marriage, you know. So we look at it, take a look at a lot of things. We can blame our lack of jobs or not making enough money. But I think God, where you are right now is exactly where God wants you in your finances. And if you can work with what God has given you in this, right where you are, then he can elevate you to another level.
Mm, that's awesome. I heard a man speak about unemployment as our time in the desert, and that there's a lot we can learn
right.
in the desert, and sometimes God calls us there for a purpose.
Exactly. I know when my husband got laid off, and the first thing I did was panic, but what I realized is that we had already had been through the hard times, and so we had learned, and so our finances were in order. So just because he was laid off, it didn't make us go into a crisis mode, and because we had prepared for in case. And so we have to always be proactive in our finances, and when a job loss comes along, we're not panicking, and we're not doing things drastically that will cause us to get more into a financial crisis.
Mm-hmm.
and think about what we're doing.
Yeah. So wow, you explore a lot of things other than just the dollars and cents of it. You're looking
exactly.
at emotional life, self-esteem, relationships, how people are trying to get their needs met.
Exactly. Because I find a lot of times, especially in marriages, when I sit down with married couples, there's a lot of arguing, mm-hmm. A lot of bickering and pointing the fingers. And until I can find out what is really going on, usually it's a power struggle somewhere. There's something going on. Once I get to that part, then we can settle down and look at their finances. And they seem to work better together at that
mm-hmm.
point. Once we get the other part out of the way. And even if you're single and you're feeling like, well, you know, I'm single, I can do whatever I want, there's usually also something behind that too, with trying to keep up with someone, the Joneses, and so it's about self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
Loneliness. A lot of things that come into play.
Yeah. I had our pastor on last week, Apostle Phil Smith of mm-hmm. Colorado Christian Fellowship, and one of the things we were talking about, kind of as a side note to our topic last week, was how he defines sin, is getting legitimate needs met illegitimately.
Exactly.
So we do have some very legitimate needs, mm-hmm. but we can use anything, and we talked about this
Absolutely.
Last week, whether it's sex or shopping or
exactly.
food or relationships, to try to fill that need that really only God can fill.
Exactly. Especially with married couples, they use money as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always tell them, you're not, you know, divorcing over money, or you're not fighting over money. There's something else going on, and you're using that money as a weapon. I did that in my own marriage, and so I can relate to that, because there's something else struggling. And so money is so powerful in relationships and marriage and your life, because it's the center of what we do with, you know, money is right there. So we tend to use that, and we're not even knowing that we're doing that as a power, as something to hold over someone, or someone to get control of someone.
Yeah. So, wow, it sounds like, you know, our topic is New Year's resolutions, and there's so many areas that people kind of traditionally make New Year's resolutions in. And it seems like if you make some resolutions around your money, you might actually be addressing other areas in your life. If
Exactly.
you make resolutions about how you spend your money, perhaps you eat out too much.
Mm-hmm.
And we all should know eating out is a great way to sabotage your diet.
Exactly.
So if your New Year's resolution has to do with losing weight or maintaining your weight or eating healthier, actually targeting your finances might hit on that that goal as well, huh?
It absolutely.
It's all tied together.
Yeah,
it's all related. Well, it seems like you take, and Crown takes, a very holistic approach to finances. It really is not just about dollars and cents. It's so much more. I was thinking, you know, if it's so hard to manage our finances and address these things, why even bother to make New Year's resolutions? Why do you think it is so important to start out the new year making resolutions around your finances? What does the Bible have to say about that?
You know, the Bible addresses over 2,300 verses dealing with money, and because they know that's important, I always like to use a few. Categorizing with education, like Hosea 4:6 talks about educating yourself in money-wise, in anything really, but definitely in finances, educating yourself. And talks about Luke 14:28 talks about planning. We have to plan. This finance is about probably the only place in our lives that we don't plan. It seems to be in chaos, and we feel like if finances are in chaos, we can still keep going, but you can't work in chaos, whether it's in a personal life or in your diet or even in money. If that's in chaos, you can't seem to make it work. You have to get some order into that.
Wow. So it's important to make resolutions, and maybe we don't have to call it a resolution, but when I looked up the definition of the word resolution, it's a firm decision to do or not to do something. So it's this cognitive or intellectual act of committing to do something, and we don't overcome any barrier to change. You know, I always say change is hard, it's scary, and it comes at a cost. It requires a sacrifice, and we can't overcome any of those barriers until we decide to make a commitment to do it. We do have to be determined. Some synonyms for resolution are intention, decision, aim, plan. And you mentioned that word plan, pledge, promise. So we do have to be committed. And what a great time of year to do that at the beginning of the year. It's tax time.
Yes.
So you can get everything organized, get your checkbook together, get your tax records together, and start off the new year fresh.
Exactly. You know, my husband and I, we always sit down the first of every year and we always plan what we're going to do for that year. And we have goals that we set and timelines that we want to get that done. And when I sit down with people and they say they want to save money, we just don't talk about saving money. I have them do steps because they have to have steps that they do. So you open a savings account, you have payroll deduction, you decide on how much you want to deposit, and then you decide on how much you want to save in 6 months. I'm just not going to say, okay, start saving money. I want you to know how much are you plan on saving in 6 months? And then we look at options of where you can look at to save that money. So you have to have a stopping point also to measure where you're going.
Yeah. And so you're not just kind of haphazardly just pie in the sky, just going to start saving.
No.
And you touch on a really important psychological principle that having a goal in mind gives you something to work towards.
Exactly.
It gives you a motive, a motivation. Why am I doing this? What are the pros? What are the cons? Mm-hmm. And again, if change is hard, it's scary, and it comes at a cost.
Yes.
If you're going to be sacrificing your daily Starbucks, for example, that latte factor, right?
Yes.
If you're going to be sacrificing, it helps to motivate you when you don't feel like doing it to know what you're working towards.
Exactly. You know, and when I sit down with people, I don't just give them a budget. We go over, I try to make sure it's their lifestyle. If they like to go out to eat, we're going to try to incorporate that in their budget. But 9 times out of 10, when we start planning their budget and looking at their finances, they will let me know, you know, I think I'll cut back maybe and eat out twice a month, you know, or twice a week. They will let me know, because once you're looking at it in black and white, you start making the decisions yourself, because I cannot do a strict budget with you. You won't stick with it.
Right.
It has to be the lifestyle that you're used to. So I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to tell you what you have to give up. Eventually you will decide. You and God will decide what you need to give up.
Right. So you're guiding people
exactly
in a strategy, like you mentioned, the steps and some principles on which to develop the strategy.
Exactly.
And it's not about depriving people of what they want. Yeah, it may require some sacrifices for getting order in your finances instead of chaos, being a lender, not a borrower, turning things around. But ultimately, it's not about depriving you of the things you enjoy. It's making a spending plan and a saving plan.
Exactly.
To get to have those things that you enjoy.
Exactly. Because I want them to set their own goals, and I want to help them succeed in those goals, but it's not going to be vague. They can't just say, I want to pay off this debt. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to say, okay, how are you going to do it, and what timeline are you going to give yourself? And so I always make sure that they have a starting again and a stopping point, mm-hmm. not just out there saying, I'm going to, you know, save money, or I'm going to pay off a debt. We're going to actually, and I always tell them to look at, maybe you want to give up something temporarily. You know, when I was doing mine years ago, and I love Starbucks, as you mentioned, and I was going every single day. And if someone came to me and said, you have to give up Starbucks, I wouldn't have done that. But once I start looking at our money and where it was going, I decided, okay, I'll just cut back temporarily just for a couple of days. So I'll just go to Starbucks 3 days a week. Once I had a jar and I kept putting the money in there, because I was spending $5 a week.
Right, sure.
I'd put it in there and I saw the benefit. I just started doing it myself, giving it up. And now I just start buy Starbucks at home and drink it there
like that.
So I made that decision because I saw the results.
Mm.
And I was using that money to help us pay off debt. So once you first get motivated, and even if it's a little bit, and you see the results, you will automatically start on your own.
Right. So that's a great little strategy, is rather than just saying I'm going to cut back on my Starbucks and just see that money, you know, not go away in mm-hmm. your checking account, you actually take that cash mm-hmm. and put it in a jar
yes.
so you can see it and make it concrete, make it tangible.
Yeah, I think most people are visual. And if you just put it back in your checking account, it's not going to mean anything and you're going to be back to Starbucks. But if you can see it visually and how much you've spent, because I didn't realize I was spending $25 a week just in coffee. It didn't seem like that with $5 here and $5 there. It just didn't seem that way. But once I saw it building up in the drawer and it could go toward paying off a debt, it motivated me.
Right.
It motivated me so much that I just give it all up.
That's a great tip. And, you know, I keep connecting all these things together. You're a financial expert, and yet our topic is broader, just mm-hmm. resolutions in general. So I keep thinking about all the calories you're saving, too.
Oh,
if you're
yes.
not drinking that macchiato, frappuccino thing with whipped cream, not only are you saving $5 a day, you're probably saving 500
Absolutely.
Calories.
I did lose weight.
a day. That's great. And just listeners, so you know, to tune in next week, I do have Kim Farmer, who is the owner of Mile High Fitness, and she'll be with us next week to talk about how to reach your fitness and health goals for 2013. So if you're listening right now and you have a question for my guest, Teresa McCaskill, about her finances, or just a question in general, or you want to share your resolution in general, doesn't have to be just about finances, give us a call, 303-433-8000, and every caller, every week, I'm giving away a free ebook copy of my book, Do Something Different for a Change, to every single caller. So who doesn't want something free to
yeah.
kick off the new year? And my book offers effective psychological strategies based on biblical principles
yes.
To help you experience the lasting change in your life that you've been, you know, working towards. In 2013, it's always a great time to start afresh and start a new goal
yes.
in the new year. It just feels like a good time. So give us a call. That's 303-433-8000. So you hit on, I think, an important topic, Teresa, that you're an expert and you've got strategies, you have biblical principles, you have some great tips like you just shared about putting that money in a jar where you can actually see the results of your sacrifice and your patience, but you can't do it for them. You've recognized that you can't tell them what to set as a goal, what to give up. You just help them accomplish it, but you also just can't do it for them.
No,
people
I
have
cannot.
To take responsibility.
Absolutely. And I know it's people don't want to talk about money until they're at a crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, so I try to teach them to be proactive, and sometimes people just don't see it. They'll just skate along until there's a crisis has happened. And now they're trying to dig their way out of a crisis. And that's even harder. So I try to tell people, you want to be able to not do that, because once you're in the crisis, it's harder to climb out than it is just to make sure you're proactive. And when you're proactive, your finances are in better shape than trying to climb out and then get better.
Right.
So it takes a longer time to climb out, then get better, than it is just to make sure that you're doing the right thing now. And so I tell people not to be afraid, you know, not to be afraid of your finances, because it's going to happen. It's either going to happen the right way or it's going to happen the wrong way. But sooner or later, you're going to be confronted with your finances
right.
somewhere along the line.
And it's not even just about not having enough. You know, we talked about this around the time of this big lottery, this $500 million lottery that we just had here last month. when you have all that money and you don't know how to manage your finances and you're using money to address your emotional issues. There's a documentary on ESPN called Broke about all these multi-million dollar professional athletes who spent money like it was water and now they're broke.
Exactly.
So it's not even about learning how to manage money so that you are not in a crisis without enough money. It's how do you manage what God has blessed you with so you can continue to be a blessing to others.
You are so right, because we see so many, you know, movie stars and celebrities that have gone bankrupt and they make millions, you know, and you wonder why, because they're not looking at their finances. So it does not matter where you are. I think wherever you are, that's where God wants you. And sometimes people tell me, well, when I get a raise, I'll come to you. You know, I'm thinking, no, come to me now, because whatever you're working with, we can work with that. You know, sometimes, again, it does require a little bit of sacrifice, but in the long run, you will be blessed, because God can say, you know, you're stewards of his money. He owns everything. So once he sees that you're taking care of that, then you can be elevated to something else. And a lot of times, if we are not even thinking about the money part, we're thinking about our relationship with God. And if we're struggling in our finances, we can never hear what he wants us to do with our lives, what purpose, what our true purpose is. And so I tell people when I'm sitting down with you, it's not just so you can get your finances in order so you can go buy more stuff, is to get to hear, be able to hear God. Because if you're struggling in your finances, you don't hear him. You know, I've been there where I'm just struggling and all I'm hearing about is I got to pay the bills.
You're
and
hearing
God
that
is
phone ring with that bill collector.
And God is talking to me about what I need to do that he told me to do, and I'm not hearing that.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's about your relationship with him, and it's about his kingdom.
Yes.
That if he's blessing you with a lot of money, it's for your benefit, and it's also for the benefit of others, that our needs will be met, and that increase, that overflow, is so we can be a blessing to the kingdom.
Absolutely.
And it's not that he doesn't want us to have our Starbucks or our nice things.
He absolutely does want us to have that the right way.
That's right. So we know that as people start making changes in their lives, at least psychologists write about this, and we see this all the time, they sell a lot of gym memberships at the beginning of the year, or people get them as Christmas gifts. And by February, you know, it's really crowded in January, but by February, you can find any treadmill, any elliptical machine.
Yes.
There's no line. So people have the best of intentions in the beginning, and then they kind of slack off. Do you find that that's true as well when you're working with people with their money?
Absolutely. And I try to do follow-ups with people who I work with one-on-one. I'm trying to design a calendar now, a financial calendar, so for 12 months they can take a look at their finances that way. So I'm in the middle of doing that because I think it needs to be set in front of you. So a lot of times people will give up if it's not fast enough. If they're trying to pay off a debt and they slip, they feel guilty. And I tell them, don't, just get back up.
Right.
You know, everyone has weaknesses. You just know your weakness and pick yourself back up and continue. So it's just getting people to understand that you are going to fall. Even if I teach you, you're going to fall. Just get back up.
That's right. So everything that you're teaching around finances is really just good psychology.
Yes.
That you didn't get into the bind that you're in overnight, whether it's regarding your physical health and your weight or smoking or drinking too much, bad relationships. That none of that happened overnight. And so it certainly is not going to turn around overnight necessarily. God can and does do miracles, and we can and we are delivered in an instant. We are a new creation if we're in Christ, and yet we still have to walk that out day to day in the natural.
Exactly.
And those things take time, so we need to be patient.
Right.
And one of the things that you're mentioning is what I call my 21-day challenge is we hear that all the time. It takes 21 days to establish a new habit, and maybe that's true for financial habits, keeping track of your money and that kind of thing. And so people, they hear that and they say, okay, 21 days, but what do I actually do?
Yes.
And so I talk about my 21-day challenge is identifying some small change that you can make.
Exactly.
And it should be something that you're going to start doing as opposed to something you're going to stop doing.
Exactly.
And why I make that that point is that we can say I'm going to stop smoking as a New Year's resolution, but it doesn't give you any guidance on what to do instead when you get that craving.
Exactly.
So with the 21-day challenge, you pick a very small behavior that's going to move you towards your larger goal of something you're going to do that's going to be one small step along that that journey, and you stick with it for 21 days. And if you find that you slip up, that you slack off, like we just talked about, you don't beat yourself up.
No.
You don't give up. It just means you probably started with something too big,
exactly.
a step that's a little too far beyond what you can do comfortably and consistently. So just dial it back.
Exactly.
And when you get to that small enough step that you can stick with it consistently for 21 days, then you're on your way to making that change.
That is so true. And that's exactly what I do when people want to save money. I'm like, just start with $10, yes. You know, because if you start too large, you're going to go back and get the money. And so the savings is really not a, you know, really not benefit to you. So I tell them, start with just with $10. And if you feel comfortable, increase it. But that's just a baby step. And that's just to get you in the habit of saving something, mm-hmm. You know. And so taking baby steps, absolutely. You have to take baby steps and not punish yourself, whatever you're going to do.
That's right. That's right. Well, we have all the Christmas spending behind us, but there's still Kwanzaa, which as far as I understand, Kwanzaa was created in part as an antidote to all that spending mm-hmm. before Christmas so that we can catch the after Christmas sales and buy something small each day for the days of Kwanzaa. But what advice do you have for someone who realizes that they got caught up in unrealistic expectations, they were trying to keep up with the Joneses, they were trying to maybe develop their self-esteem by giving expensive gifts mm-hmm. to people often who don't even appreciate them.
Exactly.
They re-gift them. They don't like them. They end up in a closet. What one practical tip or strategy could you give someone in this post-Christmas shopping spending haze?
Well, first of all, of course, you can't change what you've already done. And so if you've charged it, then I suggest that I would like for them to get busy to try to give themselves a goal to pay it off before the end of the year. If not, then, of course, tackle that. Another thing I need for them to do is just to take a look at who they're buying for. And sometimes we can just give practical gifts next year. Mm-hmm. So writing down who you bought for and what they really need, and one of our neighbors, they give my mom, they just come over and clean her house. Mm. She doesn't need anything. So things like that is what she appreciates.
Yes.
So we can start taking a look at what you really need and not buying these gifts that, like you said, they're going to recycle anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like Starbucks, so I get Starbucks certificates.
Yes.
They're like gold to me.
I do too,
yeah,
listeners.
So or fingernail, I mean, get your nails done. Something
yes.
that's practical and doesn't cost very much.
Yes.
So you have to start taking a look at the person that you're buying
yes.
for.
Yes. Quickly, Teresa, we're almost out of time. How can people get in touch with you if they want to get some financial counseling?
There's two ways. I do have a Facebook called Walking in Authority Over Your Finances. And then my number is 720-353-0742.
Great. Thank you, Teresa McCaskill. Thank you for being with me today. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. As you're making your plans for the new year, if you need some financial counseling, give Teresa a call. I'll put her contact info on my website. If you're looking for transformation experience, lasting change in 2013, contact me as well. My information's on my website, drpegonline.com. Be sure to tune in next week for some fitness tips. My guest today has been Teresa McCaskill. I'm Dr. Peggy Mitchell Norwood, reminding you to live well.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Living Well with Dr. Peg. For more information or to contact me, go to www.drpegonline.com or email me at drpeg@hotmail.com.